What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, September 23rd, 2022. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. What a week it has been and what a day it's been on the stock market. They had a really rough ride today. We'll be getting into that a little bit later in the show here. But again, another very busy news day. We're going to try and fit as much in as we can before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business. So let's get right on into it. And we're going to start with Joe Biden and his relationship with China. And there's a new story coming on out. Documents have surfaced about how Joe Biden arranged to sell American gas to a Chinese company and also drilling equipment. That's a new wrinkle we had not heard before. And if you'll remember, when Donald Trump was in the White House, he started a program to try and prevent Chinese spying. A lot of Chinese spies running around acquiring our technology and, not a really very good thing for them to be doing. And it turned out, according to this article over in Station Gossip, that Joe Biden canceled that program. You know, he hated Trump that much. He hated America that much. He's buddy-buddy with China. And so right now, there just really aren't too many people trying to find the Chinese spies there. You know, like the one that that congressman was shacked up with. Anyway, Biden is now pushing for something called the Disclose Act. And what it would do is identify donors to groups that run political ads. Now, the real purpose of this is to further suppress political free speech by exposing people who donate to possible harassment, which we're seeing a lot of. Are they going to get run over in a street parade or something like that? And so basically, the bill requires groups that run political ads to, make public all of their donors. And again, they would be subjected to harassment. It's just another way of trying to curtail freedom of expression in this country. All righty. Mark Zuckerberg has now been hit with legal complaints alleging malfeasance during the 2020 election. Zuckerberg and his wife and three voting rights groups have had legal complaints filed against them alleging misconduct related to activities during the 2020 election. This was actually reported on Fox Business News. So they're finally starting to come around and move back to the center. So good for them here. And basically, they're talking about the huge amount of money that Zuckerberg spent and its influence in shifting the political debate away from Donald Trump and over toward Joe Biden. Now, a few days ago, we had this tragic story of this 41-year-old man who got into a political disagreement with an 18-year-old conservative and then ran him down. And over on CBS, when they reported the incident, they left out the political motive. Because too many people are linking this tragedy with Joe Biden's speech in front of Independence Hall, where he was out there with his fists in the air and screaming about, you know, the MAGA Republicans are a danger and a threat to the country. And Republicans, of course, are very upset. They're pointing at the president's vilification of opponents after this man in North Dakota ran over and killed this teenager because he believed he was a Republican extremist. And this is what he said to the police. And he said this young man is a member of a religious extremist organization. But North Dakota police looked into that claim and said there is no evidence this teenager was any kind of a member of any kind of a Republican group, extremist or otherwise. So, I mean, what a senseless death there. But there's probably going to be a lot more of that sort of thing happening as we get closer and closer to the midterms. All right, getting back to Ghislaine Maxwell, she is, of course, in that little country club comfortable prison there. Her lawyers have now decided to drop her as a client. She owes them nearly $900,000 in legal fees, which obviously she is not in a position to pay right now. She's involved in a legal fight to get a piece of Jeffrey Epstein's estate. And, of course, Ghislaine, I know how you could make $1 million real quick, and that's, you know, start telling stories about what happened on Epstein's Island and start naming names. And, you know, every book publisher and magazine in the country is going to be there with their checkbooks in their hands. So let's hope she doesn't get really, really depressed and hang herself with her toilet paper. Okay, now Representative Bishop has called out this lying Democrat for saying that Trump supporters bludgeoned a police officer to death during the January 6th protest. Representative Montaire Jones has been echoing this early claim that was made that the Trump supporters took a fire extinguisher and beat this police officer to death. That turned out to be a complete lie. He died the day after of cardiac causes. Gee, I wonder if he had a COVID vaccine here. Meanwhile, pardon me. Kamala Harris is now out there saying that laws that ban ballot drop boxes are undemocratic and un-American. And certainly, you know, the Democrats want those ballot boxes out there because it makes vote stealing, vote rigging, stuffing the ballot boxes all that much easier. Republicans are trying to restore a more secure, verifiable, and accurate election system, and the Democrats definitely don't want that. Okay, now getting on back to 2020 and the election fraud, Bill Barr came on out and said that he had conducted an investigation while he was U.S. Attorney General and found no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. And Freedom of Information Act requests revealed documents that there were no investigations. Bill Barr just basically lied when he said that there was an investigation and they found no evidence. No, there was no investigation. Barr just went on TV and said, nope, no voter fraud here. You can trust the results of this election. You know, but remember, those referendums they're having over in Ukraine, those are all rigged. They're all fake. They're illegitimate. You know, they're completely crooked. But you can trust the 2020 election here. All right, getting into COVID, it is still with us. It's still killing people. Up in Canada, earlier this week, there was a 19-year-old hockey captain that just collapsed in the middle of a game and died. And there were people there trying to administer life support, CPR, and so forth, and it didn't work. The young man passed away. The team that he was captain of had mandated everyone take a COVID vaccine back in 2021. And again, we don't know how long these adverse events last. You know, everybody just sort of assumes it's going to be immediate. If I give you the shot and you're still okay a week from now, well, then obviously the vaccines are safe to use. Okay. Now, there is an author that has come on out, Ashley Binsberg, and has come on out exploring and explaining how Dick Cheney was behind Fauci's elevation to the top of U.S. biodefense research just after 9/11. Now, when you hear the word biodefense, what you're hearing is biowarfare. That's what Fauci has really been doing all the years since then. And it explains the funding for gain-of-function research to Wuhan, China, all these biological warfare labs they're finding in Ukraine and other parts of the globe. And that is why I think that those who are planning World War III have decided, well, we're not going to use the nuclear weapons. You know, if we use biological weapons, it'll kill off all the people, but all those buildings and roads and factories and everything will be in pristine shape for us to use and exploit and occupy. Now, over at the FDA, they're out there trying to convince you to get the new COVID boosters, and the language they're using is raising a lot of eyebrows. One of the phrases they're using to get you to get the shot is, it's time to install that update. with a new COVID-19 booster, making it sound like software here. And another one was, don't be shocked, you can now recharge your immunity with an updated COVID-19 vaccine. And this, you know, sounds like software development, which with Bill Gates embedded in this is probably inevitable. But a lot of people have been very concerned about these mRNA shots effectively reprogramming your DNA. And if they're out there pushing all these boosters, it tells me that whatever they were trying to do with the first round of shots didn't take. And they're coming back and say, well, let's try again. Stick another needle in and see, you know, are you happy and obedient? well, it's not working. Let's do another shot here. Now, the other day I was talking about how activists on the issue of vaccine injuries were being blocked on social media just for having the word vaccine in their posts. Their posts were disappearing with these automated moderation systems. And they had started using the carrot emoji as a symbol for the vaccine, because it kind of looks like a syringe if you think about it there. Now that that has become common public knowledge, Facebook has shut down a 100,000-member group for using the carrot emoji. Okay, if you use the carrot emoji, Facebook and eventually the other social media companies will simply block and delete those posts, because you're not allowed to criticize the vaccine industry. You know, it's carved in stone that Joe Biden brought down from Mount Sinai and so forth and so on. speaking of Biden getting into the international news, at his UN speech, Biden came on out saying, Russia can't take a country's territory by force. And that's kind of a little hypocritical when you look at the history of the United States taking other people's territory by force. Just ask any Native American, for example, or the people in Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan or anywhere else we've stuck our nose into other people's business. And so for Biden to get up there and say Russia can't just take territories by force, you know, well, I can imagine he probably got laughed at for that, or he should have been. You know, diplomats, they're going to be very careful. They're not going to give offense here, but, you know, it is a funny comment for him to make here. All righty. Now, last Monday, Ukraine slaughtered 16 civilians, including two children, with 155-millimeter shells provided by NATO. And the corporate media is basically ignoring these stories. They're still pushing this idea that Ukraine is good and Russia is bad and they're doing all these evil things here. But yes, Ukraine is using the weapons being supplied by NATO, being paid for by you, to kill civilians and children. That should irritate you a little bit. Certainly does me here. Now, there was a very interesting article out of the mostimportantnews.com. I love that name of the website there here. And it's pointing out the fact that the Russians are absolutely convinced that this conflict is an existential fight for survival. They've been watching NATO gobbling up former Warsaw Pact countries and edging closer and closer and closer. And, you know, if Ukraine comes under NATO control, there will be nuclear missiles positioned there that could hit Moscow with as little as 5-minute warning. So, yeah, from their point of view, their existence is being threatened, and they are going to react, you know, on the basis of that assumption here. And that's what's going on here. When the Soviet Union broke up, NATO promised they would not expand eastward and gobble up the former Warsaw Pact countries, and then proceeded to do exactly the same. NATO made that same promise again when Germany was reunified. Oh, if we reunify Germany, we promise we won't go any further eastward. You know, Germany's eastern border, that will be the it. That'll be the end of NATO's influence. And then again, broke that promise and edged closer and closer. So the Russians justifiably are concerned that NATO and is trying to basically encircle them, cut them off from the world, and try and destroy them, wipe them off the map. And they're very, very concerned about that. Okay. Now, there is still a lot of concern over the fact that the U.S. is in Syria, basically plundering more and more oil in the northeastern Hasaka province. And, you know, Washington currently occupies a major portion of eastern Syria by military force, the very thing he just got done accusing Russia of doing in Ukraine. And the U.S. is not there with the permission of the Syrian government. The Syrian government would like them to go, and the U.S. is saying, no, we're just going to, you know, grab the land there. And it totally undermines his comment at the U.N. that Russia can't just seize territory by military force when we're obviously doing it ourselves, or the government. I'm not going to use we anymore because I don't agree with any of this crud that's going on here. All righty. Now, we've been talking about the possibility of a world war that would involve the United States going up against both China and Russia at the same time, which I'm very dubious about the outcome of that. But it may turn out to be a three-way war because Iran is clearly concerned that they are on the U.S. government's does not get a Christmas card list. And so Iran is starting to join Russia and China with military drills down in the Indian Ocean. And so it may be that Iran becomes a point of power projection in the Mideast in the event of a world war. Meanwhile, over in Iran, people there are very, very unhappy. There are massive protests going on over there over the U.S.-backed government. And I'm sorry, I'm backing up here. That was the Shah. But they're very unhappy there. Maybe this is another Victoria Nuland special to try and topple the Iran government. And there's a lot of people out there in the streets. And, you know, they're basically, you know, calling for the execution of the rioters over there. Or some of the counter-protesters are calling for the execution of rioters there. Now, over in China, they are mocking Japan and Britain as dead empires and call them little brothers of the United States. Seems like a fairly accurate description to me. This was in China's Global Times newspaper, and they expressed outrage on Wednesday at the fact that the prime ministers of Japan and Britain made time to meet with each other at the United Nations General Assembly, dismissing both countries as little brothers of America. And yeah, following World War II and the collapse of the British Empire, the U.S. kind of calls the shots in both countries. All right, now we are hearing more and more people in the military start to stand up and say, I've had enough. And there's an article over at Libertarian Institute saying, I didn't join the military to fight for Taiwan. And, we had that wonderful caller yesterday talking about Vietnam and everybody who was drafted and sent over there. They didn't want to be there. They didn't think the war was just. It's not what they wanted to be doing. And it looks like a lot of people in the military are saying, I'm tired of fighting Russians for corporations and Taiwan for whatever. We signed up to defend the United States against foreign aggression, and we're not seeing any. The only aggression we're seeing is on the part of NATO and the United States. All righty, now getting on back to the USS Bonhomme Richard, there has been an interesting development. Now, the official story coming out of the Navy is that this sailor basically set fire to the ship. And it turned out there were two investigations that were isolated from each other. One was the criminal investigation that said, yeah, this kid set the ship on fire and it's all his fault. The other investigation identified hundreds and hundreds of safety failures on that ship. They, you know, the missing fire hoses, missing firefighting equipment, and the crew didn't try and stop the fire. And it was like an hour before the firefighters were able to get on board to try and tamp the blaze down. And, of course, the ship was a total loss. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susannah's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at a house or office with a musty smell or mold. Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to talk about the economy for a little bit. And the news is not good. It was a bad day on the stock market. At one point, the Dow was off almost 700 points. It had a little bit of a bounce at the end and closed a little over 400 down. It's down in the 29,000s. And this was the worst close since back in 2020. So things are really rocking and rolling over there. And a lot of this has to do with that federal rate hike. The Federal Reserve rate hike made borrowing money to conduct business more expensive, and so a lot of people, you know, sort of backed off playing the market because the cost of playing, the green fees, is as it were, went up a little bit. Story coming on out of Zero Hedge, warning that if the Federal Reserve, you know, continues to fight inflation with rate increases, they could actually cause a lot more damage. And we're hearing some very draconian things coming out of the Federal Reserve. They're talking now about trying to reset the U.S. housing market through a difficult correction. And there's a lot of concern about whether the plan will work or not. Housing, interestingly enough, housing in blue states is falling in price. Housing in red states is actually going up. And I think that's an indicator of how many people are fleeing the Democratic parts of this country to be replaced by illegal immigrants. and, you know, going to the red states here. Now, Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, came out with a very blunt comment for investors saying, you better tighten your seatbelts because recession and unemployment are coming. Actually, I think they're pretty much here, and they're trying to hide it for the purposes of, you know, looking good for the midterm elections here. And that's a pattern that has repeated throughout U.S. history. Every incumbent administration does everything they can to make the economy look as positive as possible until the election is over. Then they let it sort of fall back to where it really is. And you, the American people, get to pick up the tab on that one. Well, our little respite in gas prices appears to be over. They were very high, then they came down a little bit. Now they're going up again, despite Joe Biden depleting the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and get prices under control. Well, that reserve is pretty much empty now. And under the law of supply and demand, the prices are going to go up one more time. Now, investors aren't the only people being hammered by the increase in the Federal Reserve prime rate. Right now, U.S. mortgage payments are up 45% over last year, thanks to the Fed tightening under Bidenflation. And so, yeah, it's not looking good here. Over in Hungary, they're taking a lot of heat from Brussels over their resistance to any more EU sanctions on Russia. In fact, they don't even like the ones that are already in existence there. And so Hungary is actually going to hold a polling across the nation to find out what the Hungarian people are thinking about these sanctions. And they may just say, we're sick and tired of it. We want to go back to, you know, having a normal life with a decent economy. And Hungary might say, we're not going to go along with the EU sanctions anymore, at which point Hungary might decide to break free of the EU the way Great Britain did, or Brussels may just kick them out. Brussels is also on the case down in Italy, where they're starting to really dig in their heels regarding more sanctions against Russia. And it was easy for the head of the EU to get up there and say, well, we're fighting for freedom, and that's worth the sacrifice. But the people actually making the sacrifice seem to have a very different idea about what's going on. Okay, now getting on to immigration, the one good thing about this Martha's Vineyard situation, it has really made the issue prominent in the public eye, not just for the sending of the illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard in the first place, the subsequent deportation back to the mainland to a military base, and now all of this screaming and crying regarding Ron DeSantis. You know, and there is the George Soros group financed some lawyers to sue Ron DeSantis for human trafficking. Lawyers have already come on out and said, no, that's not going to work. These people knew where they were going. They signed a consent to go. And, you know, Martha's Vineyard declared itself a sanctuary destination. Okay. And again, more liberal posturing. Yes, we believe in illegal immigrants being allowed into the country, just not here where all the money is on this island here. And by the way, little personal note, you know, Martha's Vineyard people may be liberal and they may be fairly wealthy and everything, but they're still people. One of the big headaches that the Jaws production team had to deal with when they were on Martha's Vineyard is equipment got stolen on a regular basis. Lights would go missing, tools would go missing. It was pretty nasty stuff. Okay, we got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back. And we're not getting music. Do we have a break? Okay, apparently not, so I'm going to go on talking here and make sure my volume level is right. Okay, so anyway, getting into transgenderism and all this gender confusion here, Rochester Children's Hospital has been exposed for offering gender transition services for 8-year-olds. Now, come on, people. When you are 8 years old, you don't understand gender. You don't really know anything about sex unless you're being molested. And it's ridiculous. And a lot of these kids are being pushed by their parents to go through this because the parents want to be cool. They're liberal and they want to be trendy and hip. And look, you know, we took our son and got his pee-pee whacked off. And, you know, therefore, we're good little liberals here. Now, we're still hearing a lot of fallout, if you will, from Stacey Abrams, who came on out on TV making the claim there's no such thing as a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks. She claims it's all made up. It's a manufactured sound. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got a bunch of other liberals saying, oh, yes, those fetal heartbeats that are all fake. And, you know, every ultrasound machine that's out there has been rigged to produce a fake heartbeat. And this is all being done by the evil men to oppress women. OK. And women, you want liberation? Carry some condoms with you. You know, and if the guy does not want to wear a condom, well, go back to the bar and find somebody else who's a little more responsible. Okay. So let me just do this real quick, and we are back to the news here. All right, there is a video, and it's all over the net, and it's rather distressing to look at. I want to give you a warning ahead of time. And this happened over in Tupelo. And there was this Chevron Food Mart that got robbed. And the gentleman behind the cash register was from India. And this gentleman coming on in with a COVID mask and a hoodie came in. And the clerk of the store did what police are always saying. Cooperate with the criminal. Give them everything they want and everything will be okay. And so this clerk, you know, gave this crook all the money in the register, a bunch of cigarettes and a bunch of other stuff like that. The criminal then had the store clerk lie down on the ground, at which point he shot him in the head and killed him. And right there is a really good reason we should all be carrying concealed. Because clearly the advice from the police to cooperate with the criminals does not work. Will not work, will never work. Okay. Now, down in Australia, a team of psychological researchers, and remember, psychology is kind of a fuzzy science. I mean, there's no machine they can hook up to you where the needle says you're manic depressive or they call it bipolar today, you're sociopathic or psychotic or any of that stuff. It's all basically object or subjective opinion by the practitioners there. But these psychological researchers have basically come on out and declared that doubting the global warming agenda is now a mental disorder. If you disagree with Al Gore, you're mentally ill. And maybe we should give you some heavy medication, you know, some Thorazine to shut you up here. And, you know, this is a tactic that the former Soviet Union used to use. Anybody who disagreed with the government was declared mentally ill. They were sent to a mental institution. And the idea was that if you have somebody saying the government is messed up and you kill them, you turn them into a martyr. But if you say, oh, this poor person is suffering a mental illness and you throw them in an asylum, well, you discredit them. You know, you can say, don't listen to that guy. He's been in the nut house. You'd really, you know, don't listen to him at all. Okay. And yeah, this was a tactic used by the USSR, and it's being used increasingly here in the United States as well. Okay. Now then, a lot of people talk about solar panels. And we went through this phase on Oahu where there was a tax break for homeowners to install solar panels. And since then, sort of the glow has come off the idea of solar energy. There are some technological breakthroughs that need to happen to increase the efficiency and longevity of the solar panels. They don't last forever. Even though there's no moving parts, they don't last forever. The process of manufacturing solar panels is environmentally very destructive. And so there's this interesting article that came out of Your Destination Now quoting a homeowner saying, "This was the biggest waste of money I've ever spent in my entire life." And, you know, these power customers are furious about these solar systems' poor performance. You know, solar panels are not highly efficient at converting light into usable electricity. And every once in a while, you'll hear about somebody's had a breakthrough where they've gotten the efficiency up to maybe 80%, but it somehow never gets it to the market. Right now, I think the best efficiency is 30%. The rest is simply re-radiated as heat. Well, I think I just found the source of global warming. All those solar panels, they're turning sunlight into heat. I'll get letters on that one, I'm sure. About a week ago, I mean, the weather's going crazy. We're all following Hurricane Fiona. It's one of the worst ones they've got. It just trashed Bermuda. It's on its way to the east coast of Canada. There's a new system forming that is predicted to head into the Gulf of Mexico and cause a lot of grief there. But last week, there was a torrent of rain in Italy's March region, and it dumped 16 inches of rain in just 2 hours, triggering catastrophic floods. 10 people were killed, and 4 others are still missing and unaccounted for. And the disaster and the destruction was as bad as an earthquake. And so you get to this idea about, you know, oh, there's a drought everywhere. No, there's not a drought. There's plenty of water. The systems designed to take water from where it is to where it is needed have been allowed to decay into ruin. You know, we have this amazing, or had, past tense, this amazing irrigation system across the West, because the U.S. West naturally is a desert. And they built this huge system of water distribution, but now it's leaky, parts of it are broken, it's delivering only about one-third of the water it's designed to deliver. That, coupled with the repeating La Nina wind patterns, is why we are seeing droughts there and the drop in Lake Mead and everything. But you know something? The pendulum will swing back, and we'll get torrential rains in that part of the planet, and then it'll say, oh, we've got too much water now. Well, that's nature for you here. Okay, I think whoever came up with this was watching the Matrix movie franchise. Because scientists are now seriously considering, or selling, a plan to refreeze the North and South Poles to dial down the global thermostat. And what they want to do is spray sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere to reflect sunlight back out into space and allow the area underneath to become cooler. And this would require about 175,000 flights every single year, okay? And, of course, all those flights are going to be releasing carbon dioxide. So it doesn't sound like a really well-thought-out idea. And, of course, you know, set aside the fact that the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration is reporting that the Arctic ice cap has set a record growth this last winter, or going into this winter here. The fact is that sulfur dioxide affects the human respiratory system. It can irritate the eyes, it can irritate the respiratory tract, and it increases the risk of other infections. It's an enabler of other diseases. It affects mucus secretion and aggravates conditions like asthma and chronic bronchitis. So it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful solution, like happened in the Matrix universe, is going to backfire rather horribly on us all. Okay, we're back to this thing about crickets in the food, and there is a story that's coming on out of news.com.australia showing that snack foods containing bugs have already been introduced to 1,000 school cafeterias across the country. And if the little kids aren't reading the ingredient labels on the back, which is something you should teach your children to do at this point, they're filled with cricket protein, which is produced by a company called Circle Harvest, which has presumably a cricket farm. And I kind of wonder how they do the roundups. You know, they have, you know, hamsters sitting on poodles with little whips and says to drive them crickets into the machinery here. but again, there are reasons not to be eating insects. They carry all kinds of parasites, which may not be removed in the processing of the cricket protein. You know, we just naturally don't tend to eat a lot of insects. I've never seen a cave painting of hunters with spears going after a cockroach. It's just not out there. Okay. Alrighty, getting into some other areas here. The Supreme Court of the United States has issued an order to Yeshiva University basically forcing an acceptance of an LGBTQ club on campus. And this is against their wishes. And again, this forcing of LGBTQ. I personally don't care, about gay people, what they're doing, whatever. I knew a lot of gay people out in Hollywood. Most of them are just decent folks doing their job just like everybody else here. But there is this extreme element that is out there trying to basically force it on everybody else. And I think it's because they need reassurance. They're not really convinced that it's okay for them to be gay or trans or whatever, and the only way they can convince themselves that they're right is to try and proselytize everybody else that they are right. And this is leading to certain fanatical behavior patterns here. All righty. The leading transgender health association has released its new guidelines on who can and should not have these transgender or gender-affirming treatments. And the minimal age for minors to obtain puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries have all been removed. There used to be a stated age limit. The patient must be above XYZ age. That's gone now. So it's open season on little tiny babies who don't even know what that little bit between their legs means. So anyway, the author of the new WPATH guidelines is saying that schools, hospitals, doctors who are in that transgender industry, and it is an industry, should threaten parents who are resistant to transgender treatment on their children, report them to Child Protective Services. Apparently the thinking is that if you don't let your kid have the doctors fill them full of chemicals and cut them up, that you are somehow being an abusive parent. And boy, talk about Alice through the looking glass world here. All right. Now, there are activists across America that are pushing the transgender ideology, and they keep making more and more weird demands. And the latest one is they're demanding that men stop using the urinals in the men's room because those urinals are very uncomfortable for the transgender women who are coming on in there. So I guess we're supposed to piss on the floor now, you know, to make them happy. It's really out there. Okay, now out in California, and I love California when I lived there, but I'm glad I do not live there anymore. The California legislature has passed a bill allowing the state of California to subvert parental rights and seize custody of out-of-state minors seeking trans surgeries. It's awaiting Governor Gruesom Newsom's signature. He's probably going to sign it. And it's basically going to allow the state to say, well, if you don't agree with transgenderism, we're going to take your kid away from you, and that's going to be the end of that. It's insane. I always wanted to be a parent, but if I were a parent right now, I would be up in arms about this. They're abusing our children in the name of equity and gender fairness and all this other malarkey here. All righty. Senator Tim Scott has introduced a bill. This is in South Carolina. The bill would ban schools from keeping a child's gender transition a secret from parents. This is a problem all across the country. Schools are out there pushing the transgender agenda on the kids, and the kid says, well, maybe I guess you've yelled at me enough. Maybe I am the other gender. And the parents would not be informed of this. And Tim Scott is saying, no, the parents have to be informed. The child belongs to the parents, not to the state. Of course, liberals have a somewhat different view of that very question. You know, as soon as they pop out, they're the property of the state, and the state can do whatever they want with them. All right. Now, this is going to tell you what's really going on here. Okay. This is coming out of Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and they are actively promoting this mutilation of children, of minors, and they came on out and admitted this is going to be a huge moneymaker. Okay, we don't have enough sick people in this country. We're going to start convincing kids to change gender, and the cash is just going to pour on in. And Tuesday, let's see, Matt Walsh published a Twitter thread highlighting his findings coming from Vanderbilt. And needless to say, this has provoked a tremendous reaction. Vanderbilt has actually taken down the web page talking about transgender surgeries following the Matt Walsh expose. Say, oh, what web page? We have no idea. But the Vanderbilt University Medical Center deleted the website of the transgender clinic. And they understand this is a lot of negative publicity. Governor Bill Lee, okay, is calling for an investigation of Vanderbilt's pediatric transgender clinic based on the Matt Walsh revelations. I keep telling you, it's all about the Benjamins. It is really all about the Benjamins here. Okay, over in Virginia, and this is going to result in serious ugliness. The liberal Virginia school boards are refusing to acknowledge parental rights over children. They are openly defying Governor Youngkin. And they're saying, no, we're not going to go along with your guidelines. And, you know, we are in charge here, and we will decide what is best for the children. And, you know, we're going to de-emphasize reading, writing, and arithmetic here and make sure they know those correct gender pronouns. Well, this is probably going to wind up in a court case someplace, because I don't imagine Governor Youngkin backing off on this issue, especially in the face of open public defiance by the school boards. I mean, that's insubordination. There's no question about it. All right, there is an individual, Chloe Cole. She is a woman who transitioned to male and then went back. And one of the big, deep, dark secrets the transgender movement does not want you to know is how often people who transition regret it. Okay, it doesn't solve their mental problems. It just adds a whole new bunch on top of there. And this very courageous woman is going public, saying this gender-affirming model of care is a terrible idea. And it led to her irreversible medical transition as an adolescent, because she can go back to saying, yeah, I'm a male, but, you know, that male plumbing down there, the machinery that passes on the genes to the next generation, that is now gone. She can't get that back. She absolutely could not get that back. And she held a press conference in front of the White House in support of Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's new bill, the Protect Children's Innocent Act. That's something I can definitely get on board with. And the bill aims to shield minors from accessing the permanent body and life-altering medical treatments they may later come to regret. And a lot of them do. A lot of them really do. And, you know, how did we get to the point where nearly every pediatric institution in the country thinks it's acceptable to remove healthy breast tissue or healthy genitalia from young children? It's child mutilation is really what it is. And so Chloe is out there saying that Americans deserve to know the truth about this radical and perverse ideology marketed as necessary and life-saving health care. Actually, it's not doing that, because a lot of these people who transition and then regret it afterwards, they commit suicide. It's a big, big problem. And Chloe had this statistic. Over the past decade, there has been a 4,000% increase in children being referred to so-called gender clinics across the United States, and she was one of them. A recent UCLA survey found that the number of trans-identified teens has doubled in the last 5 years to about 300,000 in the United States. Okay, because it's being marketed to them in the schools. It's being sold to them. This is cool. This is hip. This is trendy. You can break free from your biological gender. We just have to take a scalpel to the naughty bits. And, it's being sold. And as the Vanderbilt webpage admits, it's all about making more money. Okay, we are going to take a break for some commercials, and we will be back after these few words.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Did President Biden admit a border problem? I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The Biden administration has set the record for the number of apprehensions at the U.S.-Mexico border in a calendar year and in a fiscal year twice. So far, more than 2 million arrests have been made this fiscal year alone. Yesterday, Biden said, "We're working with Mexico and other countries to stop the flow." Oh, working with Mexico like the previous administration had done, but you undid? Things like the Remain in Mexico program that you have fought in court to stop since taking office? Is that how you're working with these other countries, by bringing back all of the processes and procedures that you called racist on the campaign trail? It does seem that Biden has finally admitted a problem. There must be an election coming up. Find more political commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, We won't say we did. The tower's in.
Well, you're going to love this next one here. Over at Maryvale Preparatory School, their diversity director, Kalia Selman, has come on out saying that students who don't conform to the gender agenda or the diversity agenda are causing trauma and harm. Okay, so all of a sudden, people who think men are men and women are women, we're the bad guys. We're being demonized, okay? And it's really getting out there. And, you know, 100 years from now, there are going to be college students reading textbooks about this era in the United States of America, and they won't be able to stop laughing. They really won't. Okay, now there's a lawsuit that hit the federal appeals court, and it basically involved a prisoner, male prisoner, who was strip searched by a female guard who identified as male, and they hired him, her, it into a male prison. And so the male prisoner who was strip searched was feeling a little bit uncomfortable about that. And so he filed a lawsuit. And the judge ruled that the inmate has a right, based on his religion, not to be strip searched by a female. Okay, even if the female claims to be a man. So a little bit of common sense is finally breaking out there. It really is. Now, Bill Maher has gone through an obvious apotheosis. He used to be hard, hard liberal. I mean, really hard liberal. And lately, he's definitely coming back to the center and, you know, looking at common sense issues here. And he came on out saying that Biden's position, okay, on critical race theory and LGBTQ and gender and the rest of it is going to drive voters to vote for Trump in 2024. Okay, even with all the other issues out there, the economy, the wars, and the rest of it, Bill Maher is saying that resistance to all of this gender indoctrination of our children is going to be a major issue for parents when we get to the 2024 election, if we get to the 2024 election here. There is another poll. This came from New York Times, surprisingly, showing that over two-thirds of voters oppose public schools teaching sexual orientation and gender identity in the grade schools. And, yeah, and I'm sure along with that, you know, parents are feeling very angry and frustrated that even though their taxes are paying for that public school, they are disenfranchised from having anything to say about what's going on in that school. And I've talked to some parents, or traded emails with them, rather, where, you know, they find out what their kids are actually learning in the school, and they're utterly shocked. And in some cases, kids are telling their parents, well, the teacher said, I can't tell you about this. Okay, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We need some callers, and we'll be right back.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.